In this episode of Startups with the Rest of Us, Dr. Sherry Walling and I discuss staying sane while starting up. This is Startups with the Rest of Us, episode 377. Welcome to Startups with the Rest of Us, the podcast that helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at building, launching, and growing software products, whether you've built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Rob.
I'm not Mike.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. What is the word this week, not Mike?
Well, I've been compulsively checking for the mail. So I keep like going down and pushing the snow out of the way so I can open the front door to see if the package has arrived that has what I hope is the final proof for my new book. But we had 11 inches of snow, so the whole like infrastructure of the city is slow going, and I'm not sure that the delivery will get here today.
Yeah, traffic is not great today, and there's just a lot of stuff. Like all the schools are closed, right? All three of our kids are home today, and I feel your urgency. Like you've gone through a few proofs. It's the cover. Is the cover having some struggles with the printer?
The cover is having some trouble, and part of it has been sort of the designer not understanding exactly which template to use, but also not asking, but me also not making sure. Anyway, so there have been some communication snafus. And then the first round of the proof, I think, came like the week before Christmas. And so we had like bogged down with the holiday as well. So it's been a slow process to get that final hurdle of the final, perfect, most beautiful version of the book printed.
Yeah, I feel you there. And to give, you know, in case someone is listening to this and they're completely lost, you're Dr. Sherry Walling. You and I have been married for going on 18 years. And you and I host a podcast called Zen Founder. You are at Zen Founder on Twitter. And you've recently completed a book with a little help from me. I'm the with on the book. I'm the second author. And the book is called The Entrepreneur's Guide to Keeping Your Shit Together, How to Run Your Business Without Letting It Run You. So I'm pretty stoked about the book. Are you stoked? You excited?
I am excited. And I also feel some trepidation. I think it's like all
founders
feel. Ooh, yeah. When you're going to launch something, you're like putting a little bit of yourself out there in the world. And in this case, it feels like a lot of myself. Like it's, you know, 50,000 words from yours truly. It's a lot about how I think about life as a founder. And I'm super excited to put it out there. It's been a lot of hard work. But yeah, I'm also totally scared that people will hate it or they won't care.
Yeah, the indifference would be not good. And so you're packaging, you know, a heck of a lot of expertise up into the book. You have a PhD in psychology, and you've also been married to me, a serial founder for, like I said, going on 18 years. You're an entrepreneur yourself, you know, and now having essentially launched Zen Tribes, you've launched essentially, you know, a consulting practice, and you actually have a really good ebook that's gotten pretty rave reviews on retreats, how to take founder retreats. And we'll actually talk about that a little later in the episode. But, you know, you're getting yourself out there in a way that I don't think you or I would have expected even 15 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago. There's been a shift in you since, I don't know, maybe the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, I set out when I began my career as an academic, and life as an academic is a lot of conference presentation and writing, but it's just on a much smaller scale. And in the opinion of most academic communities, what it means to cultivate expertise is like 15 years in the trenches and lots of papers. And so I've ended up shifting, and now I'm working in the founder space, and I still now have 15 years of expertise and lots of podcasts, maybe not papers. But yeah, I've begun to be someone who has wanted to get information and helpful tips to a much wider audience than just the academic community, which of course has meant lots of hustle and lots of hard work to try to package the message in a way that's most helpful and most accessible to people who need it.
Yeah. And that's the thing is in the kind of the startup or the founder space, I have over the years seen a few people kind of come out of the woodwork who are kind of being the CEO coach, you know, or the startup, the founder coach or whatever, but they don't have the credentials, and in a lot of cases don't have the experience that you do. And so this was, I mean, maybe, I don't remember, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, as you were saying, you know, I kind of want to go a little more location independent with my work. I remember us having this conversation of like, should you, you know, dive deeper into yoga? Like, do you want to, you know, do more of that? Or do you want to dive more deeper into serving founders? And it was kind of a deliberate decision. And we started Zen Founder, and quickly it became obvious how much of a dearth of really knowledgeable kind of people there are in terms of staying sane and you know, staying happy and keeping your relationships healthy and not struggling with anxiety or, you know, or depression, or at least fighting through it, figuring out how to work with it. There's so few people in our world, and this is both the venture funded world, it is the bootstrap world, and it's also just the broader entrepreneurial world. You know, even if you're running, let's say you're not doing a startup, there seems to be a real definite need for folks with, you know, someone like you with your expertise, and there aren't any around. Like every time you speak at a conference, it seems like people are saying, wow, what a breath of fresh air. Not enough people are talking about this.
Yeah. And I think there are lots of helpful sources of information from lots of different places. But one of the things that I try to do is to pair, you know, years of science-based education and even my years working as a researcher with that on the ground experience. And I think, you know, being married to you is worth like 2 PhDs in entrepreneurial science. But I think much of this conversation began when Aaron Schwartz committed suicide. And then shortly thereafter, I felt like we heard really often about founders who had taken their own lives or whose lives had just got totally derailed. And I look at those kinds of instances as something that is potentially preventable, not 100% of the time, not perfectly. And I certainly don't know, I don't have all the answers to try to, you know, keep someone alive when they don't want to be alive. But I think there's a lot of information in the psychological literature, especially in the clinical psychological literature, that can be super helpful to help people manage stressful lives and optimize their performance, which is what most of us are trying to do. And I think sometimes people hear a clinical psychologist and they think like, I don't need a doctor, or I don't need to see a therapist. But if we reverse engineer what we know about what breaks people down, what causes mental illness, if we do that backwards, often we can learn a lot about what helps people be really well. And I think that's a lot of what we try to accomplish with Zen Founder, is get the information out there that can prevent problems before they start.
I think in addition to that, I see you as keeping people at the top of their game, because stress and all the stuff we're talking about, all the negatives, because there's so much that comes with being a founder and that just is thrown at you constantly, it can and will negatively impact your performance and your throughput and your ability to think clearly and your ability to make really, really sharp and quick decisions. And I see you helping people, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's through your Zen Tribes, whether it's through the book or the podcast, keeping people at the top of their mental game so that they can perform. Because a founder's job is not, you know, it's not sitting on the sidelines and hanging out. It's like you're in the middle of the field. You're the quarterback and everybody's relying on you. And so if you're stressed, you're hungry, you're tired, you're not sleeping well, you're sick, you're, you know, whatever, it negatively impacts everything, including your bottom line and long-term your health. And so that's where I think every founder or aspiring founder needs to be thinking about this topic, about how to stay sane and how to stay mentally well and healthy and strong while you're starting up. Even if you're just in the early throes of it, you know, if you're doing it nights and weekends, you're going to get less sleep. So you need to start thinking about, how am I going to counteract that? How am I not going to burn myself out? How am I not going to push myself too far? And that's where the message, you know, coming from you, I think is so critical. And I think a lot of people kind of hand wave it away. You know, some of the founders, oh, I don't need that, or I'm not sick, or, you know, I don't have depression, I don't have anxiety. That's not the point. You know, it's just being more productive and being at the top of your game and really not letting yourself, you know, burn out.
I think I'm like a reasonable speaker. Like, I definitely have things I can learn and grow in, but I'm always astounded when I start talking about things like sleep or things like communication with your spouse. When I give a conference presentation on just, you know, some of those like kind of basic parts of life, you know, the room is pretty transfixed. Like, people are really hungry to figure out how to help their lives go more smoothly, not only to optimize their performance, which of course is like a high goal for many founders, but I think to make life enjoyable, even in the midst of doing hard things.
All right. So we've talked about your background, and if folks want to learn more about you, they can go to zenfounder.com. And we've talked about why this is an important topic for pretty much everyone listening to the podcast, and why folks should be thinking about this from day one. And you know, you're going to run in, especially when you're just getting started, there's going to be tough times. When you start to have success, there's going to be stress. The more success you have, the more more stress I felt like I had, because there's just so much more riding on you. You know, you get a company to 10 people. Now they're relying on you. The dollar swings are way bigger. If you have, you know, a great month versus a bad month, that used to be a couple thousand dollars, it can be 40, 50 grand difference. And suddenly it's like, whoa, the stakes just become really high. So, you know, hopefully folks listening to this are taking note if they haven't been thinking about this yet. And I want to kind of touch on two topics today and have you talk through them a little bit. These are both out of the book. We're going to talk about self-knowledge. And then I want to touch on retreats, which is something that really you started going on retreats, and then I was really intrigued by them. So I went on my first retreat years ago, and I came back and raved about it on the podcast. And then it kind of spread through our circles, and there was no one, absolutely no one, talking about founder retreats before we did. And I feel like a certain pride that we were able to bring that into the space, because it's such a novel and helpful thing. And everyone who goes on one comes back to me and says, oh my gosh, it completely blew my mind. And so I want to be able, make sure that we do touch on that. But let's dive in a little bit to this, this idea of knowing yourself or self-knowledge. In the book, you talk about some different extremes. You talk about chaos versus rigidity, introversion versus extroversion, fixed mindset versus growth mindset. And I know each of those is a concept all to its own, but maybe kick us off with, why is it so critical to know yourself, and then talk through, maybe one or two of those concepts.
Yeah, I think that the premise of the conversation about self-knowledge is very practically helps you plan around your relative weaknesses and maximize your relative strengths. So when if you're thinking about starting a business, or you're knee deep in the process already, if you can have moments where you sort of catch yourself and ask, what am I good at in this scenario? Where's my sweet spot? And then also be able to tell the truth about, like, wow, I'm really not good at this part of this problem or at this part of my business. That's really what we're talking about when we're talking about self-knowledge, like the ability to think about your own process in real time. And when you can do that, when you are someone who can self-reflect pretty well, it means that you have the option or the opportunity to be able to plan around things that you're not good at. So if you know that you're not particularly good at public speaking, or you're not particularly good at marketing, or there are pieces of what's required of you that you're not strong in, you can invest the time and energy to really learn how to counteract those weaknesses, or you can hire help, or you can do something about it. But when you go in blind and you're not paying attention, that's when you risk sacrificing, potentially good outcomes, when you risk sacrificing the success of what you're working on, because you haven't taken the time to stop and think, oh, wait, actually, I suck at networking. Like, I need to get better at that, or I need some help.
So is this a lot about strengths and blind spots?
It is, to some extent. So each of the topics that we talk about in that chapter are different continuums. So chaos versus rigidity is an interesting one. And I picked this up from a woman named Philippa Perry, who is a therapist in the UK. And she talks about how we can kind of organize our conceptualization of mental health along that continuum. And you can break at either polarity. So if you are hyper chaotic or very chaotic, then you might be somebody who really has trouble following through. Perhaps you are really able to think outside the box and move quickly, but you aren't that great at communicating what you're thinking to people who are working with you and for you. So chaos at the outer edges can become very problematic. But if you move in towards the middle of the continuum, there's some real strengths there that are important to know about yourself. The other side of that continuum is rigidity. And under extreme stress, some of us tend to get very rigid. We need things in a very specific way, a certain way, and we can become very anxious when our environment doesn't align with what we believe we need. And that kind of rigidity can, you know, on the outer ends of the spectrum really look like obsessive compulsive disorder or an anxiety that is unwielding or inflexible. So knowing whether under stress you tend to kind of clamp down and become more rigid, or whether you tend to like let it all hang out and lose your keys and forget to pick your kids up and, you know, tend toward the chaotic, you can plan around that. So say you are about to launch a new product and you know that you tend to get a little bit chaotic when you're under pressure. You might need to invest a little bit more time in organization, or you might need some extra help, or you might need to think about the things that generally fall through the cracks when you're under stress and make a plan for them.
And can it also be not just blind spots that you need to account for? Because I think that's a good point. Is it also, you know, sometimes feeling a sense of anxiety or depression and not knowing what it is and finally realizing, oh, it's because I hate this part of the job, like unearthing what you love versus what you don't and being able to then delegate that?
Right. It's always a conversation about strengths and weaknesses. So when you realize like, oh my gosh, this piece of my business totally stresses me out. Once you have enough money to hire someone to do that. Hire someone to do the thing that has the highest emotional pain point. Because you do, even the most mentally healthy person is going to waste some cycles and spend some anxiety on something that causes a lot of apprehension. And if you can have someone do that for you, then that's going to save you both the doing of the task as well as the anxiety that goes along with it.
How about one of the other two dichotomies I mentioned? There was fixed mindset and growth mindset and introvert and extrovert.
So I think the same can be true of introversion, extroversion. Those are ways of organizing how we relate to the external environment. So if you are introverted, you're pretty attuned to what's going on inside of your own head. You might be somewhat apprehensive or reticent with a lot of social stimulation. And the way that you recharge or refill your emotional bucket, so to speak, is doing things that are either alone or with fairly low-key social stimulation. Versus an extrovert on the other end of the spectrum who is really like feeds off of social interaction, and that is energizing, and they love to be engaged in conversation and maybe animated, outgoing. Those are some of the terms that we come to associate with extroversion. And those are both great personalities, right? The strengths of an introvert in being able to observe and read a situation, the strengths of an introvert in being able to think first and speak later, those are super valuable in the founder world. But if you need to make that really energetic sales pitch, and that just really isn't your personality, you have to really gear yourself up. You have to practice extra. You have to have all of your resources about you, whether that's spending extra time to make a really amazing keynote or whether you bring someone in to present with you. Those are the ways that we problem solve around our relative weaknesses. So the thing about know yourself isn't that one way of being is better or worse. It's that we all are a mixture of skills and abilities, and we have to be super honest about what we're good at and what we're still growing in.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is something that I think has had a profound impact on my kind of my success. I would say success as a founder, but it's almost like more like my ability to become and remain happy as I've started, you know, these companies and launched all these products. Is early on, I remember feeling guilty as I like jumped job to job every couple of years. And my dad told me, oh, you know, you're going to be people are going to look at your resume. It's not going to be a great thing. And then I realized that I don't like working on the same thing forever. And it was just something I learned about myself, that I was probably never going to build a product and keep it around for 10 years. There's been just a few exceptions, you know, in my life. And I think finally understanding that about myself and then not feeling guilty and stressed about it when I get 18 months or 24 months into a project and I start really feeling kind of down on it and burned out and all this stuff. And as soon as I switch to a new project, I'm just fired up, you know, because it's not, I know some people do that every month or two, right? And then you're never going to get anything done, but I will see a product to enough success that it makes it worth it and then want to just kind of move on.
So if you really like accept that about yourself, then you would be like razor sharp on honing the skills that it takes to get a startup going and then to a certain level where you can then hand it off to somebody else. And you wouldn't hypothetically, like you wouldn't really stress about like, do I babysit this thing for the next 5 years? You would just say, no, this is what I'm good at. This is what I do. I know myself well enough to know that I am not going to like retire out of this company.
Well, let's kick things up a notch.
Wow, that's an amazing sound effect you have there.
That's the worst sound effect ever. No, but let's talk about like how do you do this? So someone listening to this says, okay, I don't know myself very well. How do you go about introspecting to the point that you can start identifying things in yourself?
I think one of the best ways to do that, to really create space for like meta reflection, for thinking about how you're doing, is to have a practice of going on a retreat once, maybe twice a year, where you set aside the day to day and put down your to-do list and turn off your computer and ignore all notifications and buzzes and beeps and things that often distract your attention. And then begin to really ask yourself some deeper questions about what have been your successes over the last year? What have been the points in the year that brought you the most joy, where you felt like you were most in your sweet spot? And then you ask the opposite kinds of questions. Where did you feel like your life was being like sucked from you? And where were you miserable? And where did you feel like you failed? And begin to really look at those questions kind of in as an amalgam and look at what, you know, what does it tell you about what kinds of moments and experiences you're drawn to and what kinds of things really seem to not go so well for you.
And you've thought and written a lot about this. You wrote the Zen Founder Guide to Founder Retreats, which is available on Gumroad. And I assume you have a link to it from zenfounder.com as well. And that's a 28-page ebook and 2 worksheets. And then you also wrote a bit about it in the, you know, in the Entrepreneur's Guide that we're talking about today. This seems to be, I mean, that's a lot of thought and a lot of content on something. So it's like, it sounds like, you know, just based on that this is a really crucial piece and something that you believe in quite a bit.
Absolutely. And it's not just me. There's some great research behind the benefit of really disrupting your schedule and stepping aside from your normal context. So one thing that's really important about a retreat is you really should not do it in your office. Like you need to go to the mountains, you need to go to the coast, you need to go somewhere with different sensory cues, a different environment, so that you can let your mind engage the questions of your life in a different way. That's helpful to begin to vary the ways that your brain is used to, like sort of the well-trodden paths that your brain is used to taking. If you can get out of your normal environment, you create a level of environmental novelty that lets your brain think in a different way.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's taking 2 days away from the spouse and the kids, or just your everyday life, heading somewhere. We used to do the beach. Yeah, we had the beach apartment and we would go there all the time. But other folks I know will go to the mountains, go to the desert, and really just hold yourself up. If I recall, I didn't even bring a laptop most times. I had my phone in case like there was an emergency and I needed to check email or something, but I would bring the black notebook with a pen and just start with those questions. And typically a bunch of stuff fell out right out of that because it was like, well, what do I want to do this year? And some years it was like, well, it's just a year where I'm starting anew. I'm either acquiring something, I'm going to build something, I'm going to tool around until I find something, or it was a growth year, right? It was like, well, it's the second year of drip. I know I'm not stopping doing that. So how do I want to get to where it needs to go? How am I going to do that? I would just think sometimes it was more about the business and sometimes I would have, you know, the personal side of thinking about me. And oftentimes, honestly, it was a combination of both.
It's just time to ask those big questions like, how am I doing? Am I happy in this life that I've constructed for myself?
Yep.
If not, like, what do I need to do? And those are not those big existential questions. Like most of us can't do that on the day to day. Like we're busy driving people and answering email and doing the business of our lives. So we need to step aside to be able to really have insight into those big questions.
Right. And that was the thing is when I would go on the retreat, most of the first day was kind of torched, just leaving everyday life behind. And it wasn't typically not until late in that day, or maybe it was the next day, where I would start to have a little bit of clarity about things, because it's like the rest of life went away and it left all this room, you know, this room for deep thought that a state that you don't get into in our everyday hectic lives of running businesses.
Yeah.
And so you obviously go into more depth on that in the book. So the book is out in the next couple of weeks, as soon as printing is finalized. You cover a lot of other stuff about how to, you know, how understanding where you came from, kind of optimize where you're going, battling the haters in your head, mastering disruption, getting things done when things aren't getting done, and staying connected. Folks can go to zenfounder.com/book anytime to sign up for the launch list. And I think the book's going to have an impact on a lot of people. And we really are selling it as a book. You know, it's going to be what, $25? I don't know if we have the final price, but it's going to be $20 to $30. It's not going to be some info product where we have all the whiz bang and it's hundreds of dollars. I mean, this is something that we want to get out to as many people as possible. So I think it's going to be kind of a no-brainer for so many of the founders who struggle with this stuff or potentially will in the future and just need the toolbox, just one more piece of knowledge to be able to keep it together while they're doing this very stressful thing.
Yeah, somebody asked me who the book was for. And obviously, it's a really good marketing question, but I was kind of like, it's for humans. It's for humans who have jobs and are doing things. And obviously, it is geared towards people who are founding something and running their own business. But I mean, so many of us are looking for strategies to help manage stress and the challenges of our everyday life.
Yep, for sure. So that's zenfounder.com/book. And you also, you do one-on-one consulting with founders and entrepreneurs. You want to talk a little bit about that?
I do. That's one of the things that I have just found to be so rewarding over the last few years is to be a resource for folks who are trying to do some of this. How do I get to know myself? How do I become more self-reflective? How do I answer big questions about my life? How do I make decisions when decisions are hard to make? And so I'm a sounding board with a lot of experience and trained ears to kind of hear potentially problematic thoughts and to spot blind spots and patterns that are counterproductive. So yeah, I try to come alongside people and help them be as awesome as they can be in their businesses and in their lives.
Right. And, you know, it's totally confidential and that's something you're very good at. So I have no knowledge of who you talk to, but I do know that you've covered, I mean, you have co-founder disputes that you moderate, you help folks figure out how to communicate better with their spouse or their family. You know, you consult with founders on how to deal with a, you know, either a problem employee or a manager kind of to get through struggles with that kind of stuff. Folks considering selling their company, they're getting an offer and they don't know if it's the right decision. And you're that sounding board where some of it's a little bit about advice, but it's a lot about getting someone to think what is the right answer for them, right? It's leading them to a right answer when it's a hard decision that's not super clear and someone really needs to dig deep and think about a lot of factors in order to make the decision.
It's a lot about asking the right questions and listening really well.
Yeah, and it can be super helpful to have someone to, you know, just think through decisions now and again. So I think that wraps us up for today. Folks want to get a hold of you. Zenfounder.com is your home online.
It is. And if people are interested in kind of my professional background, I also have a presence at sherrywalling.com.
Sherry like the wine. And if you have a question for a future podcast episode, call our voicemail number at 888-801-9690 or email us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Startups and visit startupsfortherestofus.com for a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.